Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, what's up, Every Nation New Jersey? PA here. Happy Sunday to you. Once again, our church online service. Listen, my name's Adam. I'm the lead pastor at Every Nation New Jersey, and just so pumped you could join us. I hope you have your cup of coffee, you got your Bible, and I hope you're excited, because I'm excited. We're going to start a new series this week. I'm calling it Through the Wilderness, and I'm just excited for what God has for you in that. But before we get into the service this morning, I want to remind you of just a couple things. As always, I just want you to know that we're here for you. We're praying for you, and if you have any prayer requests whatsoever, please, you can email us at info@everynationnj.org. Just email in your prayer requests. Our team will be covering those in prayer. Or you can wait till after our service today, and you can actually pray with a virtual prayer counselor on our Facebook Live feed. So that'd be amazing. And then secondly, just a reminder too, that if you'd like to join us for virtual hospitality, where we get together on our Zoom conference call number, and we just we start sharing with one another, we can go off into breakout rooms. And if you'd like to get to know some people or pray with an individual afterwards, you can join us at our virtual hospitality gathering following the service. And all that call information, once again, will be available at the end of service today. So stick around for that. Final reminder, and then we'll get into the Word of God, is this, that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving, despite the fact we can't gather together physically, that you can remain faithful to give digitally. And here's just a reminder to help frame our giving. Did you know that both fear and faith are sown in the ground of uncertainty? Did you ever think about that? Like faith or fear, they both grow in uncertainty. And I just want to encourage you to be an individual of faith, that during this time of financial uncertainty, that you're going to move in faith. I don't know about you, but I'm choosing to believe God. God is my source, not man. I'm going to believe that it's God. He says it's God that gives you power to make wealth in the earth. And so I'm going to engage my faith during these uncertain times and remain faithful in the tithe and the giving. I'll remind you what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 19. I'll read it for you. It says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He didn't say he might supply. He'll try to supply. He says, "My God will supply all your need." And so I'm going to believe that with you as I'm believing it for myself. And so if you'd like to give online, you can go to our website at encnj.org and just click on the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. It's our texting app. You can just text ENCNJ to 77977. ENCNJ to 77977. I know that's how my family and I give. And then lastly, as always, if you're old school, you can mail it in to your check or offering to our home address at Every Nation New Jersey. And so listen, let's get into the Word of God. Is that cool? If you remember last week, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we talked a lot about, obviously, the resurrection, but we referenced an awful lot of movies. And so I said, what the heck? We had such a blast last week. Let's do it again this week. And I want to reference an iconic movie, 1996 rom-com, romantic comedy, by the name of Jerry Maguire. Did you see this movie? If you didn't, you remember that Tom Cruise played the sports agent Jerry Maguire. And this is a side note, but did you ever notice that every one of Tom Cruise's movies, that he's the same character every time? It's like in Top Gun, he's just Top Gun playing, he's just Tom Cruise playing a fighter pilot. that in the Mission Impossible series, it's still just Tom Cruise playing a secret agent. And of course, in this one, Jerry Maguire, he's supposed to be a romantic and slash sports agent, and it's still just Tom Cruise. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. But if you did see the movie, I know you'll remember this scene. It's towards the end of the film, and Tom Cruise's love interest, Renee Zellweger, and remember how they had the breakup, and then suddenly he comes to his senses, and he travels through the night and comes to her home, only to find that she's actually in a meeting with a bunch of angry women, and he's still fearless, and he comes in, and do you remember what he said? He looks at Renee Zellweger in the eyes, and he says this, he says, "Honey, our company, our little endeavor had a big night, a very, very big night." He says, "The only thing was, it just wasn't complete because you weren't there." And then as his lips begin to quiver, "It wasn't nearly as complete." And then he pauses and says, "I miss my wife." And then here's the money line, "Because you complete me." Come on, you knew it, right? You complete me. Can I just tell you that Hollywood ripped that line off from the Bible? If you're familiar with the scriptures, in your Old Testament is a little book called Hosea. Hosea is a minor prophet. And in Hosea, the story of Hosea is this, is that God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. And he says, "What's going to happen, Hosea? You're going to," by the way, the prostitute's name was, and this is important, her name was Gomer. And so he says, "Hosea, I'm going to put love in your heart for this prostitute called Gomer." He says, "You're going to love her and care for her. And all she's going to do is cheat on you. And she's going to give her heart to other men over and over." And what God was actually doing was painting a picture for you and I of how God loves his people, his bride, and yet they continue to pursue other idols and other gods. God says, "Hosea, now you know how I begin to feel when my people worship other things other than me and they give their heart over to them." And so so that was the story, but here's what you need to know is there's a scripture in Hosea chapter 2. I'm going to read for you verses 14 to 16. Hosea 2, starting in verse 14, it says this, "Therefore," this is God speaking about his bride, "therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor," that means the valley of trouble, "a door of hope. And there she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master." See, the name Gomer, it means complete, completion. And what happened is God had to lead his bride, or lead Gomer, out into the wilderness to just strip her of all these things until she realizes that it was God that completed her. And that sometimes it takes you and I, we need to spend time in the wilderness that we realize that really what we need in life is not riches, is not comfort, is not pleasure. We need the Lord. And so in the wilderness is where you find that out. In the wilderness, we find out that God, you complete me. And so we're going to start a little series called Through the Wilderness. Because if you're, I don't know if you're paying attention, but our nation and the globe, we're going through a wilderness season. But the good news is this, is that God is going to see you through the wilderness. And here's how powerful and brilliant God is. That though we may have to walk through difficult times, is God assures us, if we posture our heart right, that what'll happen is we'll learn about God. We'll learn about ourselves, and that God will bless us through the wilderness. And so that's our faith. And so this week, I'll just reference 1 Kings 18 and 19. And it's the story about a major prophet. His name is Elijah. And Elijah had a little season where he went through the wilderness. 1 Kings 18, it actually requires this high moment in Elijah's life. It says that Israel was backslidden and the evil king Ahab, and I'm sure you're familiar with his wife, Jezebel, that they had led Israel into idolatry, but Elisha was going to lay out a challenge for Ahab and the evil prophets of Baal. And so Elisha, he called a duel, a challenge, if you will, up on Mount Carmel. And there they set up two altars. And Elisha, he says, let's see who shows up. So there's the 450 prophets of Baal versus Elisha and his God. And he says, Elisha says, whichever God responds with fire from heaven is the one true God. And the 450 prophets of Baal begin to chant and cry out. Nothing happens. And then Elisha calls down heaven, fire from heaven. And the sacrifice is burnt up. And there's this mighty moment of power in Elijah's life. And if that wasn't enough, not far after that it hadn't rained in Israel for 3 years. And Elisha cries out to God. And the power of God shows up. And it begins to violently rain for the first time in 3 years. Seems like a real high point in Elijah's life. And I'm sure it was. And I'm thankful for these moments in our life where God moves mightily. But how many know it was going to go real bad in chapter 19 for Elijah? That in a moment, his whole life would begin to unravel. Jezebel puts out a hit on Elisha's life. And he runs for fear of Queen Jezebel. And it says this, that he runs out into Horeb. And Horeb, it means desolate. He ran to a desolate place, the wilderness. But it was in the wilderness where Elisha had this special encounter with God, that he met God in what would now be known as the still small voice, or we could say it this way, the whisper. And here's what's so important about that in this season is, listen, there's times when we need to know the might of God. Like as we get through this pandemic, I want to know that God's mighty to save and to move on my behalf. But there's also a real part of me in this season that I need to be in tune with the whisper of God. That, see, you can only whisper to somebody when you know that they're near, when they know they're close. And sometimes you just need to hear and sense the whisper of God to get us through our wilderness. And so that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. And so in the wilderness, we're going to ask three questions, whether it's consciously or subconsciously. I believe you're asking these three questions. And the first one is this: God, do you care? Do you care? Number two is, God, do you see? Do you see me? Do you see my circumstances? Do you see my family? And number three is, God, can I trust you? Do you care? Do you see? And can I trust you? And so let's deal with these this morning. We're going to need a little strategic pause and get a little coffee here. But question number one is this: do you care? God, do you care? And so I've made no secret about this, is that my wife Susan and I, we met in high school together. She was a senior in high school, and I was only a junior. I think she had a thing for younger men or something. I don't know. Robbing the cradle, you know how that goes. But we were high school sweethearts, and then here's the amazing thing: it's been 31 years since we've been married. It'll be 31 years in May, and here's what I know can happen. Do you know that a relationship, if you're not consciously working at it, it can grow stale. You can get in a rut. You know, it was interesting. Even this week in my prayer time with the Lord, I was reading the Psalms and I came across this familiar passage in the Psalms where God will say, he'll say, sing to me a new song. Isn't that something? Like even God is trying to encourage us to, hey, let's change it up a bit. Hey, listen, that's great. You love me for salvation and forgiveness. But what are other components that you can begin to see in the heart of God, that you can begin to sing a new song to Him. And that's for our vertical relationship and as well our horizontal relationships with other people. And so you got to keep it fresh. And I was so encouraged this past week after 31 years of marriage. I was I've gone into our bedroom, and over on my wife's nightstand, I noticed there was a new book sitting out and had a pen and paper and some stuff highlighted in it. And the book was basically, I want to get it right, is how to pursue the heart of your husband. How to pursue the heart of your husband. And I just can't even begin to tell you what that did to my soul and to my heart. Like, I don't even care what's in the book. Here's what encouraged me was this, is that my wife was thinking about me, ways that she could pursue me, ways that she could stay engaged and keep it fresh. And I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, when you ask the question, God, do you care? God cares, and He's thinking about you. Let me read Psalm 40, verse 17. It says this, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." See, God is taking thought of you. And so I pray you hear that whisper this morning. God says, I care. I care. Next thing is this, is that we see God's care for humanity in His creation. I'm going to read for you Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, describing God, it says, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." If I can paraphrase Paul here, he's saying this, is that we can understand the nature and the character of God through His creation, that we understand the Creator through His creation. And if you just stop for a moment, we got a little bit of extra time on our hands now, and just think about the earth and just all the fine little details that need to take place that humans might live and thrive. Did you know that if we were just a little distance further away from the sun or closer to the sun, we would either burn up or we would freeze over? But God, perfectly in His benevolence, He said this, listen, I care that He made the earth in such a way that He, as a loving creator, would make it so we could flourish in this planet. God's whispering, I care. How about this? How about beauty? The beauty of the creation. It's funny, when you read the Genesis account, it says He put Adam and Eve in a garden. He says it was pleasant to the eye. Like, if you've ever seen just the beauty in nature, it's something very soul-stirring about beauty. It does that. Augustine, one of the church fathers, he said this as he was overlooking the oceans of northern Africa. It says he looked out and he says, "If these be the beauties afforded to sinful man, what does God have in store for those who love Him?" See, God is gracious. The creation is speaking to us, the whisper of God. Oh, I care about you. I care about you. Here's another one. If you ever seen the human body, I don't know if you know this, but the human heart, it's going to beat about 3 billion times in your lifetime, and you never thought about it once. 3 billion times it's going. That your blood that circulates through your body, roughly 12,000 miles per day, and that's God whispering to you, I care. I care. That the eye, like, God is in the details for you and I. That, did you know that you and I, we blink 12,000 times per day because God didn't want our eyes to get dry. Here's another one. I don't know if you noticed, but in our eyebrows, that they actually are designed to take water and sweat and move them away from our eyes because He didn't want you to get sweat in them. Like, that's how much God, our benevolent Creator, is into His creation. And it's Him whispering to you this, hey, I care, I care. And so, does God care? Well, let me read to you Isaiah 53 and verse 5. It says this. It says, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. So here's what I know is scars, they tell a story for us, don't they? So like playing pro hockey, I know this beautiful face, you would never believe it, but I've had like over 500 stitches, you know, on my body and that. And I remember if you look closely, I took about 10 to 15 stitches over here. I got someone hit me with a hockey stick, cut me open for a few. And then I should have ducked a left over here. And after about 8 hours of reconstructive surgery and a few plates and a bunch of screws, they went in here. And then I don't know if you can see this, but I got my lip split in half. Someone broke a hockey stick over my face. And we had to get 10 to 15 stitches over there. But each scar, it tells a story. And I can't even begin to tell you how moved I was this week as I began to see on the television screens and through Twitter and Instagram the scars on the face of our frontline workers, of our doctors and nurses that have these surgical masks on their face 24/7, and it left these scars, and they tell a story of their sacrificial love for you and for me. And then I would just remind you, coming off the heels of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus, when he resurrected, that he appeared in a resurrected body, and if you remember, with scars on his hand, scars in his side, and his wounded back, that these scars tell an eternal story. God chose to keep his scars on a resurrected body to remind you and to remind me of this. God whispers, I care. I care. So does God care? You betcha. Question number two is this. God, do you see? God, do you see? Do you see me? Do you see my family, my circumstances? God, are you paying attention? Do you see? And so I'm going to ask a question to our parents out there. Is this, number one, hey, how are you doing? Parents, how are you doing? Like, kids are amazing, a gift from God, and they are absolutely exhausting. Was that a universal amen to that one? Amen. Yes, kids are amazing and exhausting all at once. And I can remember going through the high school years with my two daughters. As my daughters are grown now, 28 and 26, but when my youngest was going through her high school years, and she just got it into her heart, like she so wanted to get a tattoo. And I'm not the anti-tattoo guy or anything like that. Listen, hey, I mean, I would get one on me if I wasn't. I'm just too much of an old guy. It's kind of gross when you do that. But my daughter, she wanted to get one. I'm like, baby, when you turn 18, you can do what you want. But until then, please, just, we're going to hold off on the tattoo thing. Well, she was 17, almost 18, and she decided, well, it's probably close enough. And to my chagrin, she snuck off and she got a tattoo. Eventually I was going to find out, and I found out, but she was quick to point out that, Dad, my tattoo is of a cross, eh? A cross, Dad. And so, as if that was supposed to slide. And later on, she would get another one. She'd get the word love, but Dad, it's okay. It's love. It's the great commandment. Love God, love people, right? And so apparently this tattoo thing can get addictive after a while. And so she eventually got her horse's name tattooed on her arm, and I've shared this for years. It might be an okay idea, except her horse's name is Big Boy. So kind of a tough thing to get on your arm. And she has a few other horses and animals, and she'll tend to get those tattooed somewhere on her arms. And here's what I know about this. See, my daughter, it's funny, she loves animals and she tolerates people. And so these animals are unbelievably dear to her. And so she wanted to get them this remembrance and this memorial on her physical body to remind her of these things that she loves so dearly. And now if I could take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 16, we read this about our God. It says, behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. that Almighty God, He says, I've tattooed you. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands that I could never forget you. See, God, He sees you. He sees you. And God says this too as well. He says, I see what you're going through. I see what you're going through. Have you ever seen gone to the website, I Am Second? It's really a powerful thing. You should check it out later on. But I Am Second is this, it shares these testimonies from well-known people of how they came to Christ. And there's a well-known one by a guy by the name of Brian Welch, who he played for the heavy metal group Korn. And listen, they were hard rocking. When you look at Brian Welch, he's tattooed up and like he's running out of real estate where to put tattoos. He's got actually tattoos on his eyelids. He has Shekinah and Kabod. Those are the words for the glory of God. And then he has one that should really catch your eye, and it's what I want to talk about here this morning, is it's Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28 is tattooed upon his neck. See, Brian Welch's story is this, that he was living the dream of the rocker. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He was living the dream until that dream became a nightmare. And addiction began to overcome his life. His wife, she OD'd on meth, leaving him alone to parent their daughter, who he loved so dearly. However, he was in the grips of meth. And he realized, I can't get free from this. And he says, I'm going to die, and I'm not going to be able to care for my prized daughter, Janaea. And so, but Brian would hear the whisper of God. And the whisper of God came in an odd place. It came of all things from his real estate agent. And his real estate agent shot him an email, and he says, I don't want you to think I'm me being weird or strange, but I was impressed by God to send you the scripture. And he sent him Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. And that was the whisper that Brian needed to hear to give his life and to get right with Jesus. And he said this, that the love of God, no condemnation, but the love of God came flowing into his heart. It pushed out addiction out of his life. And the love of God overflowed onto his daughter and to those around him. And so God saved and delivered Brian Welch because God says, I see your circumstances. I know. And so he tattoos on his neck, on his back, those of you that are heavy laden and burdened, God says, I see your circumstance and I'm here to give you rest, to bring you rest. Here's something else. I know God sees this. God sees your story. God sees your story, and I got news for you. Your story's not finished yet. I know this, just hearing from people, there's some of you are in fear, some of you are in despair, some of you are getting frustrated and angry. But listen, I know many of us are going through hell right now. But the good news of your story is this, your story ain't finished. Your story is not finished yet. And so, if you remember the book of Job in your Old Testament, like Job had a real tough 2 or 3 months where in a moment he lost everything. Does that sound familiar? Like Job, he lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. And the only thing he kept was his wife. And then his wife told him, hey, why don't you curse God and die, old man? Oh my goodness. Could it get any darker than that? And if that's where the story ended, Job would be a tragic book. But it's not tragic. It's a triumph because God sees you and he sees your full story. And he's not done with your story yet. And he wasn't done with Job. See, if you read to the end of the book of Job, he gets a double blessing, a double portion from God for his faithfulness. He gets twice as much. It says he's blessed of God. He winds up having 10 more kids, 7 boys and 3 girls. And then the book of Job ends very strangely that it doesn't talk about the 7 sons. It talks about his 3 daughters. Hashtag girl dad, right? it mentions his three daughters by name. And here's what it says. It says his one daughter, her name was Jemima. So don't think pancake syrup. Jemima, it means this. It means the dove. It means that dove is the universal sign for peace, that the peace of God had returned to his life. That his other daughter's name, Keziah, it means cinnamon spice. And that God had returned the spice of life back to Job, that he could feel again, he could taste again. Beauty was returned to his life. And then this one's my favorite. The last one, his daughter's name was Karen Harpook. Karen Harpook. And here's what it means. It means horn of eyeshadow. Isn't that strange? Like he named his kid Maybelline or Revlon. But here's what that tells us, is that God, he makes everything beautiful in his time. And I promise you that God is going to make things beautiful in his time. And your story is not finished yet. God sees. God sees. And then here's our third question is this. God, can I trust you? Can I trust you? I want to read for you John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. It reads like this. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." And here's the money line. "And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Did you catch that? He says, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear the whisper of God." And he says this, that nothing and no one can snatch you out of the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus, you can trust them. My family and I, back in my hockey playing days, in the off season, we would spend our summers in Detroit, because who doesn't want a summer in beautiful Detroit, right? We were living in Connecticut, and we'd make the drive from Connecticut to Detroit, and we'd do the halfway mark was Buffalo. And when my kids were just toddlers, particularly my youngest, when she was about 3 to 4 years old, she was really excited because we kept telling her, "There's a pool in the hotel." And she had never experienced the pool, so she was so excited. And can I just tell you how adorable she looked? Like, she had her diaper on, and we put that big old onesie on over top of her. You moms and dads, you know what I'm talking about. And she was so excited for the pool, and we did the elevator, and we went down to the pool, and I just opened the door to the pool, and my little three-year-old ran so fast. I don't know what she thought. I think she thought she could walk on water, because she just ran right into the deep end, and boom, right down to the bottom. Listen, she may be able to run fast, but you can't outrun the reach of her daddy. And I took my big old hand, reached it down in the deep end, and got my baby up out of there. Because here's the deal. I'm not going to let my baby sink. I'm just not going to do that. And listen, we read that in the book of Matthew. We see in Matthew 14 that Jesus is doing what Jesus does, doing miraculous things, and he's walking on the water, and his disciples are struggling to row in a boat, and they're startled by Jesus, as you would seeing somebody walk on the water. And Peter is going to say this, "Lord, is it you?" And he's like, "Yes, it's me." He says, "If it's really you, bid me to come out and walk on the water." And so he's like, "All right, Peter, come." He calls Peter out onto the water, and the Bible says this, he walked on the water until he began to see the circumstances, the winds blowing, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and it says he began to sink. But it says he cried out, "Lord, save me." And what do we read? Jesus, he reached out his hand and grabbed Peter and kept him from drowning. So you can trust the hands of God, that he's not going to let you sink. He's not going to let you drown. That the leper said, "Lord, if you just reach out your hand and touch me, I'll be well." So he knew he could trust the hand of God. That Jairus's daughter, it says that Jesus reached out and he took her hand and raised her from the dead. That you can trust the hands of Jesus Christ. You can trust his hands in life. And now I'm going to end with this. Do you know you can trust Jesus, his hands, in death as well? Listen, I know nobody likes to talk about this, but it's everywhere in our world right now. Here in the Northeast, people are dying left and right, losing loved ones, and nobody wants to talk about it, but it's real. And you know, the Bible doesn't shy away from death. If you're familiar with the story of Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen would become the church's very first martyr, the first one to die for the sake of Jesus. And it says this, if you remember the story, he's preaching the gospel, and as he's laying out the love of God and the gospel of God to people, people don't like it, and they start to get upset with him until the crowd becomes a mob, and they pick up stones, and they began to stone Stephen until the life starts draining out of his body. And just before he's going to die, it says this. He says, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That at his lowest point, on the brink of death, he saw Jesus. And that changed everything in his experience. And so forgive me, I'm going to do a quick downshift right here. I realize, listen, I'm going to tell a dog story now. And I know, how do you go from dog story to this? But I just want to share a story. Like, we're dog people at Every Nation, New Jersey, and we can be reconciled to cat people, but just saying. And so I'm a golden retriever guy, and my prize golden retriever was a guy by the name of Dakota. Dakota was his name, and I can remember when we got him just as a little puppy. We got him, and he immediately became part of our family. And we just had all kinds of fun with Dakota. You know, what would happen is he was a Jets fan, so I could put the Jets jersey on him, and we could watch the game, watch the Jets on Sundays. We could dress him up in ridiculous costumes, and he was just good for laughs, and he was my companion. Come on, if you're a dog mom or a dog dad, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These creatures, I really believe they're gifts from God. But they make us feel happy inside. And now I believe we have a picture that will show you of this is Dakota. He got gravely ill, and then this is a picture of my wife with him on the last day that he would be on this earth. See, he got sick, and the vet said it was time for him that we were going to have to put Dakota down because he was suffering. But here's what I remember as, he was on this medical table, and these tubes and stuff going in him. It was horrible. And as I walked in the room and I saw Dakota, my golden retriever, the moment he saw me, he stood up and these tubes and stuff that were in him, he got them out and he looked at me, and then he cried out, he howled, "Woo!" And the moment he did that, I just broke down sobbing and crying. And I share that story for this reason. See, I believe that you and I are like Dakota, that we're like Stephen, that when it comes time for the point of death for the follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to see him. And suddenly all these things, pain, worry, fear, they fall off us and fade off us when we see Jesus. We hear the whisper that we can trust him, not only in life, but in death. And just like Stephen, we can say, Lord, into your hands I give you my spirit. And we are forever with God in glory. And so listen, if you're a Christian this morning, I just want to remind you of what we've been talking about. Listen, if you're asking the question, does God care? I pray you hear the whisper, I care. I care for you. If you're asking the question, God, do you see me? Do you see my circumstances? I pray you hear this. God sees you. God knows you, and your story's not finished yet. And then thirdly is this, God, can I trust you? And I want to tell you this, child of God, you can trust God in life and in death. You're safe in the hands of your Heavenly Father. And now I want to end this week as well, for those of you that may be listening or tuning in and you don't know Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you and offer you an opportunity to take the hand of Jesus this morning, that God offers us the gift of salvation and eternal life as a free gift because of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And so if you would like to receive Jesus, you can either repeat after me, or what you can do is you can just give a hearty amen. The word amen, it means so be it. Yes, that's for me. And so I want to pray for you this morning. And so if you would just bow your head, we'll take a moment and let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come in and save me. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I receive the gift of your hand and the invitation to eternal life with you. Come in and be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to meet with our virtual counselor afterwards, or shoot us an email, or even an amen right now, maybe in the texting portion of the Facebook Live. Listen, God bless you, Every Nation, New Jersey. God is going to see you and I through the wilderness, and we're coming out on the other side victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Every Nation.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.